Membership has its privileges. Many of you may remember that as an advertising slogan that was made famous by American Express. And you may remember some of the TV commercials that pictured these exotic vacations and multi-course gourmet meals, all reflecting this life of luxury. And the commercials would usually end with this slogan, "Membership has its privileges." And the implication was, of course, that certain things were available, a certain standard of living, a certain lifestyle was available to one only if you had and used the American Express credit card. So if you wanted to get all of these rewards, you had to be a member. A more familiar illustration might be that of a country club. Now, I have to pause here just a second. I promised some of you that I would not be too hard on country club members because I am one. Some of us like to play golf. I doubt I'm going to have nearly as much time as I used to have to play golf. But it's not really the fact that we're members of a country club. It's the attitude that we bring with that. There are some that think that their membership in the country club gives them the right to critique everything and to criticize everything and to have input on just about everything, because when we're members of a country club, we pay dues, and we pay dues to get perks. Membership has privileges. Membership means that others can serve me. If I pay my fees and I pay my dues, then I can enjoy all of the privileges of membership. I can play golf when I want to. I can play tennis when I want to. I can swim. I can dine. And sadly, this understanding of membership is what seems to be what many church members hold. Tom Rainer, in his book, I Am a Church Member, suggests that 9 out of 10 churches in America are growing at a pace slower than their communities or are in decline. 2/3 of the builder generation, those born before 1946, claim to be Christian. And then you have the baby boomers and you have the busters. And when we come to the millennials, that generation born between 1980 and 2000, only 15%. And this is the largest generation in American history. Only 15% claim to be Christian. And we might blame culture, we might blame politics, we might blame the failures of organized religion. But could this be in part because some churches are somewhat dysfunctional? Could it be that we've lost our vision of what it means to be the church, what it means to be the body of Christ? Could it be because consumerism has crept into the church, because the minimalist attitude has crept into the church? Consumerism says, I want to be served. I want to be fed. I want to be cared for. Before I identify with your church family, I want to know what you can offer me. I want to know what kinds of programs there are for me. Consumerism says, it's all about me. And that's our selfish and self-centered defects of character coming through. Minimalism says, I only do what's expected. If any of my high school teachers were here, they would say that I was a minimalist. I did only enough to get by. Clark can probably verify that because we went to school together for a while, way back when. I only did enough to get by. I wanted to make a certain grade, and you tell me just what I have to do to make that grade, and that's all I'm going to do. And some of us carry that attitude into the workplace, onto the job. We only do enough to get by, and that can come into the church as well. We only do enough to avoid getting the letter or the postcard or the phone call from the minister or the elders. And I'm not saying that's intentional. For some of us, that's the normal church life. That's how it is. That's how we are. That's how we've been brought up. It just is what it is. But I wonder if it really reflects a biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, this is not a lesson that is intended to get anyone to do more. It's not a lesson intended to stir up feelings of guilt or to somehow make you fearful of your salvation if you don't get more involved. That's not the idea at all. Of course, communication is a two-way street, so I can't help how you take it. But the intended purpose of this lesson is to help us to see that we are all necessary and that our discipleship affects our community. And the ultimate goal is that we all be made more into the image of Jesus. That's what this is all about. If I am made more and more into the image of Christ, if I am a closer disciple, if I am a closer follower of Jesus, it's going to impact this church family, and this church family will in turn impact this community for great good. If you have your Bibles with you or your phone or your iPad, however it is you look at your scriptures, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a passage here that's probably fairly familiar to most of us. And I'm actually going to begin reading with verse 12. Paul here says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Now, in this context, the Apostle Paul is dealing with this problem or issue or question of spiritual gifts and the exercise, the practice of spiritual gifts in the church at Corinth. In chapter 12, Paul uses the metaphor of the church as a body with many members. In 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about love as the central attitude and action that all members should have. And then in chapter 14, he makes application to the problem at Corinth. And the first thing that we see here is that membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. We are all necessary parts of the whole. Members of the church comprise the whole body, and we are all essential parts of it. Some might be eyes, metaphorically. Some might be eyes, some might be ears, some are feet, and you smell like it too sometimes. Some are hands, but we're all necessary. We are all necessary for the body to function as it's supposed to function. And if that metaphor doesn't work for you, think of this. Can you drive a car if it's missing a wheel? It doesn't work too well. Can you drive a car without an engine? Doesn't work too well. You have to have all of the parts working together for everything to function as it is intended. The second thing here is that membership means we are all different, but we still work together. We're all different, but we still work together. People have asked me, well, how do you think you and Charlie will work together? I think we'll be great. We'll be fine. Charlie has hair. I don't. He's a little reserved. I can be a little grandiose. That means he's quiet and I'm loud. But here's how I've pictured it to people. I think we'll work together just like this. We'll be just like this. We're very different. But together, we work. And that's the way it is with all of us. Every single member of the body has a role, has a function. Kingdom activity is not intended to be a spectator sport. We're used to going to ball games and sitting in the stands. This is not the way church, however, is supposed to be. We don't come and we sit in the pew and watch what goes on up here and judge the success or the worth by how it makes me feel. It's not a spectator activity. And if one part of the body doesn't do its job, then the whole body suffers. However, if all the parts do their jobs well, then that's cause for rejoicing. I don't believe in the New Testament especially, I don't believe there's any example of an uninvolved, inactive follower of Jesus. If you were a follower of Jesus in the New Testament, you were risking your life and you were becoming a disciple. The third thing to get from this text is that membership means everything we do and say is based on love. Everything we do and say is based on love. This may be a surprise to some of you, but the original context of 1 Corinthians 13 was not a wedding ceremony. That tends to be where we hear this text read quite a bit. And not that that's inappropriate, not that that's bad. The characteristics of love are present no matter where the context. But the original context of this writing has to do with this church that was divided over how to use their individual gifts. And Paul says the greatest gift of all is love. Church membership is founded on love. Authentic, unconditional, biblical love. And the foundation for that is the love of God, because as 1 John 4:19 says, He first loved us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So church membership should be about giving instead of receiving. It's about responsibilities instead of rights. It's about sacrifices instead of entitlements. And if those terms are somewhat confusing, sometimes I have to have it broken down to me in very simple phrases. So here it is. Am I a giver or a taker? Do I look for what I can contribute? Do I look for how I can help? Or do I look for what somebody can do for me? Do I think of what the church can do for me, or do I think about what I have to offer? Just this morning, Rick Atchley, who is a preacher in North Richland Hills, Texas, tweeted, I never thought I'd refer to tweet and Twitter in a sermon. Rick Atchley tweeted this, instead of wondering what we are going to get out of church today, what if we focused on what we are going to bring? Today, Charlie and I begin a sermon series entitled, Don't Go to Church, Be the Church. And we hope to present a greater appreciation for what it truly means to be the church, to be the body of Christ. And we'll be looking at what that means, what it means to be the church. And broadly, we're going to look at it in two ways. We're going to look at what it means to be the church within these walls. What it means to be the church within these walls. How we treat each other, being connected with each other, accepting each other, loving each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other, forgiving each other, and there's some I'm leaving out, but you get the gist of it. We're going to talk about what it means to be the church within these walls, how we relate to each other. And then we're going to look at what it means to be the church outside of these walls. Because if we are really the church of Jesus Christ, we are going to take what we gather in here out there. It doesn't do us any good if we keep it all to ourselves. So we're going to look at what that means. How do we impact our community? And how do we impact the world? We want to discover or rediscover the privilege and the joy of church membership, of being the church, of being the body of Christ. Every one of us, no matter how insignificant you think you are of more significance than you think. No matter how significant you think you are, you're significant, but probably a little bit less than you might think. The point is, everybody is significant. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a function. And God intended for this body to function. Everyone is encouraged to use their gifts and their abilities to best serve the church and the community for the glory of God. God did not give us the local church to become country clubs where membership means that we have privileges and perks. God placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, and to give. I read on Facebook, I believe it was around 3 or 3:30 this morning, when Nora got in the bed with Christy and I because she couldn't sleep. So I got up and went to the couch, and my addictive personality says the first thing that I have to do anytime that I'm moving is to look at my phone, like I'm that important, I'm going to have some kind of important message. But this was pretty important. But it was a quote. It was a quote that a church somewhere had put on Facebook, and it said, "The church is a community that is developing people who follow Jesus, are changed by Jesus, and then join Jesus on his mission." That's good. The church is a community that is developing people who follow Jesus, are changed by Jesus, and then join Jesus on his mission. Will you join Jesus on his mission? It's not my mission. It's not Charlie's mission. It's not the elders' mission. It's not really the mission of the University Church of Christ. It is the mission of Jesus. So will you pledge today to be a member of the body the way that God designed it? Would you pledge today to be a cheerful and abundant giver and supporter? Will you pledge today to serve and to minister without hesitation, to get connected, to allow God's Spirit to grow you spiritually more and more into the image of Jesus? And then to unselfishly serve others in his name. That's what it means to be the church. You may not be plugged in just yet. You may be on the roster. You may be on the computer list of members. But maybe you just haven't found your niche. Maybe you're just not plugged in. And you're willing to become more active and more involved. This is the time to get plugged in, to get connected, to become an active participant in the functioning of the body. Maybe you're here and you've been here many Sundays, you've been here for a long time, and you're not officially a part of the university family. Now, granted, you can work and worship and serve here without ever having your name on that computer roster. But there's something about an identification with the body of Christ in this place. And so maybe this is time for you to become a member of this church, to officially work and serve and minister here. Even more foundational is the fact that all of this starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. So you may be here this morning and you've never started that journey. You've never taken that step of faith and begun to follow Jesus. There are a number of us that would love the opportunity to sit down and to talk with you about how to start that journey. Does membership have its privileges? Well, yes, I'm going to say that it does. Because we have the privilege of being the church. We have the privilege of being the hands and the feet of Jesus, the body of Christ. Charlie has a passage that he regularly closes with, so of course I have to come up with my own. For today, here it is, from Colossians chapter 1. We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Amen.